Lauren Gunderson is an award-winning Atlanta-born playwright. Her work has been produced nationwide and here at home by Synchronicity Theater and the Weird Sisters Theater Project. And now, Theatrical Outfit is staging a production of her show Silent Sky, the true story of a 19th century astronomer, Henrietta Leavitt. Gunderson joined us at member station KALW in San Francisco, and WABE's Lois Reitzes spoke with her about the real story behind the play.
She was a curious and compassionate and intriguing woman who lived in Cambridge and basically had always loved the night sky and was very good at math and science. And of course, this was a time when women were not encouraged to go into those fields. She was invited to come to Harvard Observatory, which had one of the biggest telescopes in the world at that time. And basically, she was not invited to be an astronomer, but she was invited to be what they actually called a computer, which meant that she did the math for the male astronomers who got to use the telescope, which the women did not get to do. So what started as kind of a humble beginning for her intellectual pursuits turned into the real turning point in our understanding of the universe at that time. So from this tiny little office in an attic in Harvard, she and her fellow computers, all of whom are women, did the detailed and meticulous math to discover a pattern in a certain kind of star that, fast forward to astronomer Edwin Hubble, would show not only how big and vast that the universe actually was, but that it is expanding still.
Now, you're referring to that time, and she was a 19th century scientist.
That's exactly right, yes.
1868 to 1921. How did you discover her?
Well, you know, I have a penchant for collecting stories about amazing women. So as a dramatist, I am passionate about telling their stories. I find them always interesting, partly because there is inherent struggle to them. And so that makes for good drama. But when I was reading this story about Henrietta, it just occurred to me what a wonderful play it could be, not just because of her her personal story, but because of the visual and musical elements that I could see making its way into the play. The math that she did, because it was based in a pattern, it occurred to me, well, patterns and math equal music. So we can have music on stage to help elucidate and manifest Henrietta's ideas. And as we all know, those beautiful pictures of stars and nebulae and galaxies, they're overwhelmingly beautiful. And I thought, well, that's a pretty decent thing to put on stage. If you can find something overwhelmingly beautiful, you might want to use it. So that's an element as well.
I imagine that explaining the very abstract mathematical data that is the center of the story by way of music will prevent a lot of people like me from eyes glazing over.
Yes, indeed. Yes. But, well, that's part of what helps me understand it. And, you know, the theater isn't a place for lectures. It's a place for emotional engagement. And music is really good at engaging us emotionally. So the combination of this intellectual element, an emotional element, an artistic element, it should really, the intention is to really make it something that kind of sweeps you away.
I guess it was within the last 10 years, maybe 10 or 12 years, the play Copenhagen was on Broadway. And that involved two characters, two physicists, Niels Bohr and Do you remember the
Heisenberg, I believe, right?
Heisenberg, exactly. Mm-hmm. How could I forget Heisenberg? And I remember reading about that and thinking, how on earth could a popular or, you know, a lay audience understand mm-hmm. what's going on in a meeting between these two scientists? And then saw the play and was riveted by it. But still, that's some pretty dry material. How did you approach something as challenging as astronomy in the story without feeling daunted by the scientific aspect of it?
That is a big element of what I do. I tend to write a lot about science, and so this is something that I come across as a challenge most of the plays I write. And the thing that drama allows us to do is explore fact with metaphor. So science is full of complications and, you know, very deep levels upon levels of understanding you have to get to the understanding to understand this and then to understand that. But when we break it down to its simplicity, there's often metaphor that can help us not just understand it, but to feel it. And for Henrietta, part of the story is not the science, but the experience of being a scientist. And that's part of what I wanted to capture, too, is Henrietta's surge of excitement when she finally realizes what she's come to find, and the joy of explaining it, and the kind of wonder and awe that is her engine that keeps her going and keeping her motivated to do this work. So that's kind of the easy part, the human part of it. The hard part is letting the audience in just enough so they understand what an amazing discovery this was. And luckily, Henrietta's discovery, again, has this pattern to it. And so we can explore some of it in music and some of it in a visual way, because the science that she was working with a star called a Cepheid variable. And a Cepheid variable is variable because it blinks, and it blinks regularly. And so what she was able to do was, with that regularity, able to use the regularity of the Cepheid variable as what they call a standard candle, so that if you saw one of these blinking stars in a galaxy far, far away, so to speak, you could use that as a way to figure out how far away it was. And that was her big discovery, is finding the pattern that was able to make this star the standard for the whole universe, really. So part of how we do that is visually, is showing you the blinking so you can say, oh, I see, there's a pattern. And even if you don't understand all of the math to turn that pattern into distance, you can get, I get that a pattern is important. Patterns are lovely.
They
so are. So using that combined with music, combined with her excitement to let you know, all right, yeah, this is a pretty important discovery.
Did she fall off the radar? Did it require the women's movement to rekindle interest in her? Or has she been recognized all along and you are just bringing her to popular attention?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I think the people who care about this work know her. Astronomers that came to the West Coast production said it was like finally seeing a relative that you'd heard about but never met when they saw her on stage. So they know of her. But a lot of us, most of the, as you say, the lay people don't. So she is a footnote to scientists like Edwin Hubble, which all of us do recognize because of certainly the telescope named in his honor, if not his own work. But the hole in her story is her humanity. So we know her ideas, and she does have a lunar crater named after her, and I believe an asteroid floating around somewhere that is her name attached as well. So there, again, the people who are in the field have recognized her. But really, what I found so compelling about her story is the humbleness of it. She was not given special treatment. She wasn't an official astronomer. She, you know, was working in these very bare conditions. There were no fancy technology to help her. It was just her eyes and her ingenuity and her instincts.
But it was at Harvard.
It was at Harvard Observatory, yes, which was, you know, she of course wasn't teaching there, but she was working with a lot of the professors and the astronomers there.
There are many plays about strong women dating back to the ancient Greeks. How is Silent Sky different from other plays about strong women?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. What I particularly love about this play and writing it was that I didn't get to write just one strong woman. I got to write four. So Henrietta has a sister named Margaret who is just as intellectually ambitious and funny and warm as her sister is confident and at times serious and a little nerdy. So they complement each other quite well. She's the musician in the play, so where she experiences the universe in terms of music, her sister experiences it in terms of math. And then we have two other women that Henrietta works with, both real, Williamina Fleming and Annie Jump Cannon, who were both two of these computers and both contributed vastly to early astronomy. So again, writing for four amazing women is a rare treat in American theater. Oftentimes we have great female protagonists and they are wild and witty and wonderful, but they're often alone in a sea of men. And in this play, it's the reverse. There is one great character. His name is Peter, and he's the only guy in the whole play. It's really a women's world that he has to get used to in the play, which is part of the comedy of it. He's not quite used to being around all these women. And so, yeah, it lets me explore the complexity of being a woman and in, you know, there's not one kind of us. Yeah. So in this play, we get to explore not just one strong woman, but the strength of female friendships and sisterhood and the world according to women.
Would love for you to comment on what it's like for this play to be presented here in Atlanta.
I can't tell you how exciting it is. I have grown up with theatrical outfit. I grew up in Decatur, Georgia, went to Decatur High School and Emory University. So I have deep, deep roots in Atlanta. And, you know, it's a big moment for an artist to come home and to have a play like this one that means so much to me. Have such a great production. I've always wanted to work with Theatrical Outfit. I've been a fan for a long time. So having this play in their hands is really exciting. But it's also, I think, a really perfect play for their aesthetic, their kind of hopeful, soulful, really well-produced drama for them. So I think it's the right play for the right theater and happens to be in my hometown. All of those things make me very, very happy.
Well, Lauren, I think the stars have aligned in your favor here.
Thank you so much, Lois. It was such a pleasure to chat about this.
Playwright Lauren Gunderson there. You also heard music from Theatrical Outfit's production of her show Silent Sky, composed by Jenny Gearing. We have more on the production at wabe.org/citylights.